I'm actually going to ask us to stand again. I'm just actually quite overwhelmed just by just the words that are shared and even the offering and just that place of just remembering who Christ is, what he's able to do, what he's done in the past, what he is doing and what he can do in the future, and the place of just fixing our eyes on Jesus and the songs. I don't know if you guys realized what we sang tonight. All right, we sang that we are not conquerors, but we are more than conquerors. Do you have any idea, as it sunk into you, what that means? We sang, we have amazing grace. Through the amazing grace, our chains are gone. All right, we sang that we're no longer slaves to fear. We're now children of God. Sometimes I wonder, we sing these songs, and do we really realize what we're singing? We were once dead, but now we have come to life. And it just feels wrong for us not to start this evening without coming in a time of thanks. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray together, and we're going to, you guys are going to all pray on your own. There we are. And let's really pray from the heart, passionately, and think about what you sang and give thanks for what the Lord has done. Okay. All right. But we're not gonna do it all. If someone phones you and you answer the phone and they tell you you've just won $1 million, okay? You're not gonna go put the phone down and go, wow, that's so cool. Thank you, God. I won $1 million. You're going to go, yes! Woo! You're going to shout it on Facebook. You're going to shout it on Twitter. Okay, you're going to phone all your friends. And they're going to answer the phone. They're going to be holding the phone like this. You're going to be, yes, I've won $1 million. You're going to be dancing around your living room, running around circles around your complex where you live. All right? And how much more worth is the life we have received in Christ than $1 million? Have you ever thought about that? How often do we actually stop to actually think about what Christ has done for us and what he has given us? He gave his life for us. So we're going to give thanks, guys. Okay? Just start giving thanks. Just start giving thanks. Just go for it and until we're done. And if you, yeah, and you actually are not a child of God, you have not received that life, or if you were set free, but you've got entangled of the change of the world again. You've walked away. Then while we're giving thanks, then come forward, and then we want to pray with you. Okay? All right, but let's start this evening by looking to Christ, by giving him thanks. Are we okay with that?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Oh, Father, we just come, and we just thank you for the cross tonight. We thank you that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die for us. Jesus, I thank you for every chain that you've broken in my life. I thank you, Jesus, that for every fear that you've come to deliver me from, to set me free from. I thank you, Jesus, that I can stand here tonight knowing that I've got life in abundance. I thank you, Jesus, that just for the relationships I have, for the friendships I have. I thank you for every relationship that you've reconciled in my life, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I can know tonight that I have hope, that there's a purpose for my life, that there's a future, that there's a call. Thank you that I know your love. Thank you for your love that has come and cast out every fear. Thank you that no matter what the circumstances are, I can rest assured in peace knowing your love. Thank you that I can stand here tonight knowing that I'm no longer a slave, that I am a child, that I've been set free. Thank you that you open up the Red Sea that I can pass through. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of my life. Thank you that you are. We just declare tonight, Jesus, that you are King of Kings and that you are Lord of Lords. We declare tonight that there's no one like you. There's no one above you. There's no other God besides you. And we just declare tonight that the cross of Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you for the blood that was shed for us. We thank you. We cannot thank you enough. Okay, I'm going to count down to three and then we're going to give a shout. You ready? Up to three. One, two, three. Okay, now we can sit. I feel better now. I feel relieved. All right. Okay, so I'm Kathleen, as Blessing said, and my time only starts now. For those that don't know you, know me. I hope you know you. Okay, so I just thought, you know, people always have pictures of their family up. So I put up my family. So this is my family. I've got 16 children. And the most gorgeous Jack Russell in the world, okay? Smartest Jack Russell in the world. Her name's Supernova. She's our team dog. Those kids you saw, they are Team Supernova. I absolutely love them to bits. That picture came up this morning as well. I have no idea what that is. It's quite freaky. Or it could be a tall dog stranger that's waiting for me. All right. Now, Blessing knows some of these kids. They've been on camp run a lot, and they're still alive. They're being fed ice cream, the most important food group in that food pyramid. It should be at the bottom. You know, that the pyramid has got that big bottom block. It should be ice cream and then everything else. All right. So, that's where I spend my days. That is what the Lord, I believe, has called me to invest in these young people's lives. And it's, that's my passion. These young people and that little furball. Yes. That was nasty. You almost got me. All right. So what I'm going to be sharing on tonight is wars and a wedding feast. I have that first slide up. Wars and a wedding feast. Now, what we need to actually just stop and realize, and we don't like to do it because it's not always the most pleasant thing to think about, but it's important that we understand that life is war. John Piper says that until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Every time we go into that prayer room, come into intercession, when we're busy worshiping and praising here, we're fighting a battle. It's not a battle in the flesh, but it's a battle in the spirit, but it's a battle for lives. That's why, I mean, we see it all over the Word. It talks about that we're in a battle, that we're fighting a fight. That's why in Ephesians it says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. In Timothy, we're instructed to fight the good fight. All right. And how does Paul conclude to Timothy? He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Okay. Are you fighting? Or are you just going along for the ride? John Piper, don't waste your life. Okay, we're all asking about our callings all the time, especially as working people. He says, the war is being fought along the line between sin and righteousness in every family. It is being fought along the line between truth and falsehood in every school, between justice and injustice in every legislator, between integrity and corruption in every office, between love and hate in every ethnic group, between pride and humility in every sport, between the beautiful and the ugly in every art, between right doctrine and wrong doctrine in every church, between sloth and diligence, between coffee breaks, working people. It is not a waste. It is not a waste to fight the battle for truth and faith and love on any of these fronts. We don't like to talk about wars because the picture we have in the world of wars is not a pretty one, but we need to understand that there is constantly a battle being fought, and the Lord has chosen us to, through the weapons of prayer, to fight this battle on behalf of those that are dying, on behalf of those that are being hurt. Okay, but what's incredible about this war is it's not like the wars of the world where we're fighting to kill people. We're fighting to bring people to life. And to me, that is so exciting. That I can stand there every day with my sword drawn, and I can fight for someone who is dead to rise up and be resurrected to life again. And what's even more incredible is that the battle's already won. We forget that sometimes. There's a victory that's already been won on the cross. I love the way Bill Johnson explains. This is one of my profound things I've ever heard. How he explains the armor of God in Ephesians that we're told to put on. And he says, have you ever realized that we only have armor on the front? We don't have armor on the back. You've got the breastplate and the shield and the sword in the front, but they never talk about what's at the back. And the reason is that we are advancing forwards from a place of victory. Behind us is victory. The victory of the cross, which has already been won. Oh, death, where is your sting? There's victory. There is no other higher God than the God that we serve. There is no God. None of the gods that people are serving on the earth, no Buddhas, no nothing, are more powerful than our God, the only one and true living God. We need to realize that. And he's won a victory. Okay? And we are advancing forward, bringing about the manifestation on earth of that victory that's already been won. So we are fighting to see what was bought, paid for on the cross, that freedom, that healing, that deliverance, that cleansing. We're fighting to see it become real on earth in people's lives. And we must remember that because we can become so despondent so quickly and so easily when we look at what's happening around us. Okay? I go out with the group on Fridays here in Long Street. And if you want to see darkness, guys, you must do yourself a favor. You must get out there on a Friday night. But I know that I go out there, just me walking and praying, I'm going forward as a darkness destroyer. Every time I walk and pray up that Long Street, I am advancing in the kingdom that has already been bought, the victory that has already been won on the cross. I'm advancing it. And then the next Friday when I walk, I'm advancing it. Every time I speak to someone and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I might not immediately see, but I'm advancing a victory. I'm fighting from a position of victory. And we need to know that. And the battle is the Lord's. We need to know who our God is. That's why you need to read the word. Okay? But he's called us to fight. It's your calling. Okay? Just accept it. Okay, so what's this got to do with the wedding feast? This is the most beautiful part of all, because this is what we're fighting for, ultimately. Revelations, woohoo, slippy, slippy slides. Revelations chapter 19, verse 6 to 7. This is in the end. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Guys, we are all preparing ourselves for the greatest marriage that will ever be seen in the history of the universe. The Lamb is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the bride is his church. And there's a wedding between the bride, his church, and the Lamb which awaits. It's so profound this for me, you know. The day I realized we as his church are his bride, it completely transformed my love for his church. I realize I'm not just loving a bunch of people or an organization or a, I don't know, what do you call this, a club or a, this is Christ's bride. If I love Christ, how can I not love his bride? Can't not. It's what he loves. It's what's first on his heart. But the reason why we need to fight is because there are some that are not part of this bride. There are many who are not part of this bride, and they're not going to be part of this wedding feast. And go read in Revelations what is going to happen. And it's not cool. Okay? So we are fighting that this bride will be full. That every person we know, every tribe, every nation, every tongue will be at this wedding feast. It's what we're fighting for. Okay? You're not just fighting for a better job or fighting for a salary increase or a car or a husband. Okay? We're even just fighting for healing. We're fighting for a wedding feast. For people's lives to be part of that. And we're also fighting for our brothers and our sisters, that those that are part of the bride will still be part of the bride at the end. Guys, it's hard to stay standing. I can tell you right now that I'm here only because people fought for me for salvation. I'm still standing here, and hopefully we'll still be standing here tomorrow, because I have brothers and sisters that fight for me every week. Okay? You guys are here because there's intercessors in this church who fight for you. All right? And that's why you're still here. It's not just by chance. For a service in that little room there, there's a war that is waged for lives. And you owe your life to that war that's been waged. But I'm calling you tonight to begin to wage the war for those that are not yet part of the bride. And that's truly what I believe the Lord is preparing us for in this next 6 weeks. Lisa Bevere says, men plan wars, but women plan weddings. Both are on our horizon. One of the most beautiful things for me is how different we are as men and women, but how incredibly strong and how important each one of our strengths are for the kingdom. The kingdom needs fully awakened women who know their strength in Christ, and fully awakened men who know their strength in Christ, whose identity is in Christ, who know they are sons, to come together to fight this fight. And then we're going to see revival like we've never seen it before. Okay? And that's why I believe this next 6 weeks is training time. The Lord is really going to prepare our hearts. He's going to draw us closer in knowing one another. You can't go to battle if you don't know who your soldiers are that you're fighting with. Okay? Knowing each other's strengths, knowing each other's weaknesses, knitting us together, knowing each other's dreams, encouraging, comforting, sharpening each other, preparing each other for the next battle which is to come. And as we come out, the women prepared and the men prepared, then he's going to bring us back together again so we can fight even stronger and more powerfully than ever before. And more lives can come to salvation, because that's what we are for. Okay, we're not here to play church. This is an army. Okay, wars are not won by clubs or individuals. They're won by armies. Okay, and that's why you'll see, you can't really see the pictures. It's kind of wonky. But actually, all the pictures on the background there are pictures from missions. It's where, they've gone all weird tonight. This morning, I think they were cool. There's pictures from one of the missions we went on. And that's probably one of the greatest battles one can fight, is going on missions. And if you ever want to experience what it's like to be joined in an army, go on missions. Okay. It's amazing how the Lord knits people together from who have completely different interests, completely different cultures, different backgrounds, but one purpose. It's amazing the relationships that were formed. Two of my closest friends, I call them my mighty women. They, people actually find it quite weird that the three of us are friends. So I'm sporty, and they kind of slick city slicker finance ladies. And we all three, the one reads Time Magazine, I read Runner's World, the other one can cook up a storm. The two of us, we go to her for her cooking. You know, so we're three completely different ladies, but we have such an incredible friendship. And you know where we met? We met on a mission to Tanzania. And there was something there where the Lord knitted our hearts together because we fought a war together. Okay. We were at a birthday yesterday, Lesbia and I, of a good friend we haven't seen in 7 years, but there's a bond there because we fought on the front lines of the youth ministry together. You often hear me say, like, how do you know that person? I was like, we went to war together, and that's why we're friends, all right? Because there's something about being on a battlefield together, fighting for the cause of the King, that really unites us in a way that nothing else on earth can, okay? That's what the Lord has called us for, and that's why I want to almost say to you, take the next 6 weeks, go in your diary, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night, block it out. If you're serious about this war, go block it out. Okay? Because this is preparation time. We're not called here to drink tea. We're called here to fight for lives. Coffee's good, though. So I just want to share just the scripture which the Lord laid on my heart for these next 6 weeks. I'm actually going to, at the end, pray the scripture over us. It's from Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And I believe the Lord's heart, is that our hearts may be braced, that's ready, comforted, cheered, and encouraged, okay? As we are knit together in love. I want to stop at that knit. As we are knit together in love. Okay, knitting together is not just hanging together. Okay, when you knit, you don't just like have two pieces of wool and then wool hangs together. Okay, then it will look like the knitting I did in home economics in primary school. That was a disaster. No, we are knit together. The two pieces of wool on the two needles are knotted, they're intertwined into one another to form that jersey, okay? It means getting in each other's spaces or allowing others into your space, okay? We must be such that if we hear one of our brothers and our sisters are suffering, that it pains us in our heart immediately as well and sparks us to pray. You should immediately pray, because you feel what they're feeling, because your heart is knit to their heart. So we can't win this battle if we're out there on our own. You know, just think about it. You're on the battlefield, okay? All right? And you're quite a high-ranking officer, and you get shot. You're not going to stand there and like, can't let anyone see I'm shot. Oops. Okay, let's just hide the blood. I'm meant to be like this hardcore officer. Let's just cover it up. You know, is anyone watching? Did anyone see that I like was a little bit asleep and I got shot by the enemy? Let's just wipe this clean. Oh, there's bloodstains on the pants. Let's try to get that out of the pants. Oh, let's try to get that bullet out. Oh, where's that bullet? No, you're going to lie then. You're going to be screaming for help. Okay? And you don't care what rank the person is who comes running to you to help you. You don't care, mind what that culture is from, okay, whether he likes sport or art or coffee or tea, right? Okay, this is your fellow soldier and you need his help, okay? And he's not going to look at you and say, that's that brother from that hood, from that place, that's that brother. I'm not going to go, no, in the army, there's a brother in need, you run and you help. That's what happens in armies, okay? But in clubs, you kind of, you know, you think about it. And the Lord's preparing our hearts that we'd be so knit together and we'd really be able to cover each other and fight alongside each other and strengthen each other. That we may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that we may become, and this is crucial, this is what it's all about, progressively, more intimately acquainted with, and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ, the Anointed One. And I believe this is what the Lord wants to come and do. He's going to knit us together, and we're going to grow in that place of truly knowing that we know that we know what we know, what we believe, and being in that place of intimately being acquainted with Christ, our Savior. Because that's who it's all about in the end. It's all about Jesus. It's not about a program, okay, or curriculum, or a get-together. It's all about Jesus. Christ is the center. And I'm speaking pretty radical tonight, I think. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to tell you now that I'm not. Okay? But I don't want to play games, because I want us to read what it says here in the Word in Colossians 3, verse 3 to 4. We read the first bit quite often. We actually quote this first bit. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. So it's cool. Okay, we seek the kingdom first. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Yeah, we think about church now and then. Not on things on the earth, okay? So we're not always thinking about the car we want. We think about church sometimes too. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now verse 4 is the part we actually don't quote. We stop there. But I read it recently. It shook my world. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And what shook me about this, it's not Christ who I live for, Christ who's part of my life, he's in my life, he's someone I'm interested in life, someone I give part of my life to. Sometimes, you know, I serve a bit at the church and I go on missions. And he's in my weekly schedule. Part of my life? No. He is our life. Which means apart from Christ, we don't have a life. Has anyone ever said to you, you're spending too much time at church, go get a life? Well, you can tell them, well, I have a life. I have Christ, who is my life. And his heart is for the kingdom, and his heart is for his church, the bride. He is our life. And we cannot not be radical, because there's either life or death. Even if you're in a coma, you're alive. You're either alive or you're dead. So if you're not alive, you're dead. Without Christ, who is our life, you don't have life. He is our life, and we need to realize that. You're not factor him in somewhere. Our living, breathing, everything we breathe. What's that song? This is the air I breathe. Okay? We walk, live, breathe. That's too fast. All right. It is Christ. He is everything. Okay? There is no balance. There is only radical. There is only 100% or death. That's it. Christ is life. He's the center. What we're doing, it's all about him. And why do we love? We're commanded to love our brothers. We're commanded to love our neighbors. We love ourselves. We love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our souls. And why do we love? Because he first loved us. We need to meditate on that daily. The fact that we love, not because Pastor Reno says so, or because authentic manhood says so, but because Christ first loved us. Life starts through, you can go to that beautiful slide now, is held together by, sustained in, and ends with Jesus. Besides the cross of Jesus Christ, we have no life. We don't realize, we forget that it was death before we came to life at the cross. We forget that so quickly. And we only have this life because Christ loved us. Huh? First. Full stop. Finished. Klar. My mother would always say, over and forbay. Over and gone. Finished. Okay. You see, this knitting together in love, although it's a command, it's not something we can do out of our own flesh. We can try. It is an outflow of this revelation that Christ first loved us and died for us, and that we only have life because of Him. And the more we sit in wonder and awe, beholding His greatness, beholding His glory, meditating on the fact that I once was chained, but now I'm free, meditating on the fact that I once was a slave, but now I'm a child, okay? Meditating on the fact, for me, I once had no friends, now I have friends. It's like, and I still do it to this day, like, I'll be at an awesome gathering with friends or a bra or something, and I'll drive home, and I'll get in my car, and the first thing I'll say is, thank you, Jesus. Because that's something I didn't have and now I have. Okay? We did not have joy and now we have it. Everything we have that is good is from the good Father. All right? And it's as we spend that time knowing who is this God who would love us so much. It falls. That love fills us. And then our lives literally become just an overflow of that love into the people's lives around us. We can't but love. It's like when it floods, yeah, and those things are overflowing in the streets. Okay, you try and stop. The water just flows. Okay, but it's a place where it is filled from a place of intimacy and realizing that mystery. Okay, of who Christ is, becoming intimately acquainted with it, that fills us. And then that overflows into other people's lives. And they're like, who are you? Who do you know that I don't know? What is this life inside of you? It's just this love inside of you. The more time I spend in intimacy with the Lord and in knowing Him, the more I just can't help but love my brothers and sisters. You can't help it. It's just, you try not to. But you can't. You just do. People often don't understand us. I'll like say share with people who are not in the church and stuff about our friends, and then they're like, they don't understand it. People do stuff like that for each other. People love like that. But it's because of this outflow from knowing who Christ is and beholding Him. So during this time when we've been knit together, you need to spend that time at the feet of Christ. It's His love that will fill us. Because He is love. God is love. I think that there's a very good reason why they first tell us we love, because He first loved us before He gives us the command in 1 John 4. And before He gives us that command, He also tells us perfect love casts out all fear. And then He gives the command to love. So yes, it is a command. We still need to walk in decisive obedience, but when our hearts are yielded to God, when we say to Him every day, teach me to love, I yield my heart to You to fill with Your love, then that command is not burdensome because it's a flow. Secondly, we are being knit together. Okay, they don't talk about single strands. We talk about knitting together. So we are called to fight this fight two by two. I have an amazing flatmate who played a massive role. Had a flatmate, she was. who played a massive role in me coming out of a place of individualism. And she always used to say to me, Kathleen, 2x2. A week later, Kathleen, remember, 2x2. All right. I come from a place of being very individualistic. The reason I quit hockey was because I used to play center forward, and that's the person who gets to score the most goals. That was the most awesome position on the field. You just grab that ball and you just run. You don't have to, you know, those lines. You can go anywhere on the field. You don't have to stop at any of those lines, and you can run straight for the goals. That was the most epic position. And then one day, our dear coach, she obviously didn't see my natural raw talent. she moved me to back, which is a defensive position. And there's this line, and you can't go past it. Otherwise, they blow you up. Yeah. And I was like, shucks. I can't score goals. I'm just going to stand here and watch the rest of the team score goals. This is no fun. And so I quit hockey. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Okay, so I've just stuck to running so you get to cross the finish line on your own. No, but it is. I say to my athletes every day, it's individual, race individually, but it's a team sport. You need your team. And life, I say to them actually every day, from being in a place of living life as an individual, the Lord has set me free and healed me to where now you'll hear me continuously say to my team, guys, life is a team sport. We cannot do this alone. And it's so amazing. I mean, Jesus sent the disciples out 2x2, that we know. But something which I found incredible is I was in Mark chapter 14, where Jesus is in the final hours before going to the cross. Jesus, the king, who has all the power, all the strength that you could ever think of. Okay, you would think of one person who does not need other people. It's Jesus. He goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and even Jesus takes people along with him to watch and pray. Huh? And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John. He somehow took three with him. And began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. What's amazing for me also is just seeing Christ's honesty here, his realness. I mean, this is the king. This is God. Okay? This is their leader. And he's saying to them, guys, I'm struggling here. I'm about to face my greatest hour. But I don't know if I can do this. Remember, he still prayed, Lord, if you can, take this cup from me. He says, my soul is distressed. I need you to pray for me that I can get through this, that I can carry this cup. And if Christ needed people to watch and pray with him, how much more do we need our brothers and sisters to watch and pray with us that we do not fall into temptation or fall away? I don't know how many times I've been saved by a word or by a prayer that someone's prayed. We need to watch for each other. Even the Apostle Paul, okay, he talks about the people. He's one of the great, of all the writings, Paul's always talking about those that supported him, that prayed for him. And he's thanking them in all his letters. He's, thank you guys. Thank you that you prayed for me. Thank you that you stood by me. Thank you that he says in the one scripture, thank you that you strived. Thank you for striving side by side. And he encourages the people, keep striving side by side, as if in combat. He talks about one of his fellow workers as my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Okay, Paul, the great Paul, needed people to walk alongside him. Okay. He talks about the woman who labored side by side with me. How much more do we not need fight together, okay? So don't waste these 6 weeks. Get yourself some fellow soldiers. So now, what remains for us? A few concluding instructions. Firstly, don't be a lone ranger. Okay? The enemy loves to isolate us. And when we're the most stressed, in the biggest turmoil, the most busy, isn't that the time we most think about not going to small group, not going to church? Strange, eh? Eh? It's like, but that's the time when we most need our brothers and sisters around us. Okay, the enemy loves. He gets you there in the corner on his own, and then whoops, comes to take you out. Recognize it. Okay, I've got an unwritten rule for myself. If I don't feel like going to church or small group, I go. I know. I've seen it every time. Because that's, and then I walk out of there and I'm like, hallelujah, I needed to be here. That word has encouraged me. That word has comforted me. The people praying for me. Don't listen to the words of the enemy. Listen to the word of God. Do not neglect meeting together. Okay, guys? I can tell you of countless times where I've actually been crazy busy. I have not had time to go to the small group on the Wednesday, and I've just went. And it's amazing. I've got home, and I don't know, time just kind of became more. You know, moon stood still or something. Or I just worked more efficiently. The Lord knows what we need. Cheer one another on. Okay, guys, let's encourage one another in our giftings. Let's encourage one another when we're down. Okay, let's cheer each other on. All right? Be the best, least significant player. Okay? Let's be the best at regarding others higher as ourselves and taking interest in what their interests are and supporting them. Okay? One of the best positions you can have in the army is to be a prayer warrior for one of the other soldiers. Those are the guys, they're not the seen guys, but they are the most important guys. I always, Leona or Raina will ask me on a Monday after I've preached, they're like, how did it go? And I'll say to them, yo, those people that prayed for me, they were on fire. Because we know that we cannot stand here and share the word without the people that are praying for us. We'll fall. Okay. Advert. If you have not signed up to pray for someone who is going on missions, okay, you need to do that. All right, this is where your fight starts. All right. So those guys going on missions, just raise your hands, raise your hands. There's a lot here in the room. Guys, look at them. Okay. If you're not praying for someone, go speak to one of them. Okay, make sure that you sign up for a slot to pray for them. All right. Stand and pray for one another. Sometimes all we can really do is stand and pray. We don't have words to say. Okay, we don't know what we can do, but we can pray. Okay, I've been so blessed the last years. I've had we've had a lot of turmoil in our family, and I've had two very challenging trips to Natal. One where my mother almost was in very critical state in the hospital, and one was actually last year this time when my brother's wife passed away. She was in her last weeks of cancer. And it was actually amazing, but each time I had people who were standing by and praying, and I have such incredible memories of those times. I remember last year I was in Natal, and suddenly I get these messages within like 24 hours from two of the sisters, like, yes, can we pray for you? What's going on? And I'm like, yeah, actually I'm here in Natal, and we're busy. It's sort of like, I don't know, my sister-in-law's probably got about a week to go, and you know, I'm here supporting the family. I was like, wow. I've got such testimony from that time. Okay? And most importantly, and this is what I'm finishing off with, share your song. Okay, we all have a song. We have an old song and we have a new song. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. What is your song? Do you have a song? Sometimes, I know with my life, my old song sometimes sang louder than my new song because of the wounds that the old song was still stuck in. And sometimes it actually takes for us to be real and make ourselves vulnerable and open up our hearts for people to minister and for the Lord to come in and be, to heal and to remove that old song so that the new song can sing loudly. But we've received that new song, and we need sometimes need people to help us sing it. So one of my favorite quotes, and I'm finishing off, we're going to stand and pray. Emily can come up. She doesn't quite get there. We need to work on that, Emily. I love this. I got it on a bookmark many years ago, and it's traveled from house to house. There's one thing I always pack in the box. I throw a lot of things away, but I never throw this bookmark away. It says, to love a person is to learn the song that is in their heart and sing it to them when they have forgotten. One of the most beautiful songs, which was one of my favorites and still one of my favorites, when just after I'd come to Christ and he had just shown me what he's calling me to do. And we were doing our first camp run a lot. But they didn't run that lot in those days. It was still camp run medium. And I remember us driving in that school bus. My two friends and I, who were helping, and we were blasting the CD from Casting Crowns. And the song was Life Song. It says, let my life song sing to you. And it says, and at the end of the day, may you be the one that signs off the day. And may my heart have been true. And I regularly pray. I say, Lord, let my heart, my life, sing a song that glorifies your name. Okay? We all have a song that's meant to glorify the name of the Father. A song that brings us joy on the inside. Okay? A new song. But sometimes life causes that song to go silent. Okay? Sometimes we forget the song. To love a person is to learn what is that song that the Lord has placed in their heart and to sing it to them when they have forgotten. To call out that song in our brothers and our sisters. This next 6 weeks, I want to challenge you. Find out what your brother and your sister's song is. Okay? Mine's Chariots of Fire. I'm joking. But seriously, find out what their song is. Okay? And when they're not singing it anymore, when they've lost it and they've forgotten it because of the cares of this world, sing it to them. Call that song out in them. The Lord has placed. I want us to stand. Let's just close our eyes. And I want to pray this prayer of Colossians over us. But before I pray over us, I just want to give an opportunity. For us to be encouraged, for us to be comforted, for us to build one another up. And I'm gonna mention a few people, and if this resonates in you, then I want to just immediately just step out, okay? Come to the front. And as soon as I'm finished praying, we're gonna have facilitators available to pray with you guys, two by two, okay? Don't leave this place if you need someone to pray with you, all right? Even if it's not one of these three categories, but you just your heart is heavy. All right, you're carrying things in your heart which you know you cannot carry in your heart anymore on your own. Two by two, then come forward and have someone pray with you, okay? All right? So if you're here tonight and you don't actually even know, did I ever even receive a song? I don't even know if I have a song. I don't know what my song is. All right, no one's ever prophesied of you, called that song out in you. You're like, I don't know. Song, what song? All right, we want to pray with you. you want to call that song out, you want to speak it over your life, okay, then come forward. All right, come forward, come to the front. Be bold, come and receive. The Lord is good. We want to sing with you. We want to pray for you. All right, or maybe you're in that pit of despair, in the mud in the mine. It's just, you've got a song, but life's just too tough. I actually feel there's someone here. You're actually like angry with me. It's like, how can you sing? All right? I can't sing right now. My circumstances, I just can't sing. All right, then we want to pray with you that the Lord will restore your song. Okay, life's just too heavy. I know sometimes we just, I can't sing. I can't right now. We want to pray with you. We heard earlier on how the Lord opens up the Red Sea. Okay, maybe you've just forgotten your song. You've got lost in just life. You've walked away from what the Lord originally called you to do, and you've kind of just forgotten, what is that song that the Lord wrote on my heart the day that I got saved? What is that news? You've forgotten it, and we want to come and we want to call that song forth in your heart again. We want to pray with you. So if you, just while everyone's eyes closed, just if any of that just resonates in your heart, then I want you to be bold and just take a step forward. You're coming to the Lord. People can't help, but the Lord, He's mighty. I'm just going to give a bit of time for us just to respond. The Lord is working in hearts right now, and if you know that you need prayer, you need your song renewed, then I just want to invite you to come forward so we can pray with you.